got the spot from him. Now I can rub his head if I need to. I've had a whole lot of fun. I've really appreciated your hunger, guys. And I know you don't normally meet on the weekends like this. You do Thursday night. I called Jason on Thursday. He said, well, I'm heading to church. We got church tonight. Oh, these people are rowdy, man. Church Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wow. Then I get here and I just got to experience your hunger and humility. It's just so easy. You could be stiff as a board and I'm going to preach the gospel. It's just the way it is. But you're not. You're very hungry and receptive and humble and teachable. And it's been fun and exciting because as a teacher, it's one thing if I'm going to preach clear. People hear this proud, but I laugh. I said, been walking with Jesus for a while. If you have me a mic, I'm going to preach clear. But it's another thing when people want what you're saying.
Yes.
And it starts becoming something in their life. And that's payday for me.
Yes.
And it's just really fun. And I can tell that this is very good ground. And we're becoming something, Jason. Our labors aren't in vain. We're becoming something. We're not just doing church. We realize we've become her. And the gospel wants to change and transform our lives and empower us to shine. And I've been saying it all weekend. We're not here to survive. Let's get survival kit out of our mind. The gospel's not a way to survive and make it to the end. You've already made it. The gospel's here so you can shine. In the face of every trial, in the face of unexpected things, in the face of stuff and just life, you can shine. Amen? Things could be breaking out all around you and falling apart. You can still have peace. You can shine. You can make a statement of who He is in your life in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah? It's not time to fall apart ever. It's time to be found in Him. I just promise you, some people see passion in a person and they think it's because everything's going so great. No, it's because you've been in Nebuchadnezzar's fire and he's the fourth man in there. He's the Lord. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's not even about the fire. It's about who the Lord is.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you know in your own heart, you don't have to read Shadrach's encounter. You know in your own heart he's the Lord. You know what I mean? And there's a knowing. If any man comes to him, he must first believe that he is. There's that knowing that you can grow into by walking this thing out. And you really want to gain that in your life because it puts a confidence in you. It's not a pride. Some people mix up pride and confidence. You're supposed to have confidence. It says don't throw away your confidence. It has great reward. You have need of endurance till after the will of God is done, you can receive the reward or the promise. So you're not going to walk out this thing without confidence, without endurance. So that means there's trials. That means there's things that go the way you weren't hoping. Look, that's not negative preaching. That's just the Bible. It says the same storm is coming to the wise that comes to the foolish. The difference is the wise did something with what he heard and became something through what he heard, and the storm had no effect on what was built.
Yes. Yes.
And if you read the story in Matthew 7, the storm wasn't trying to destroy the occupant. The storm was trying to destroy what was built. You can't take adversity personal. You can't take life personal. You take the gospel personal. We're in this war. We were made for God's image. We're God's plan. People are God's plan. We didn't come from a mud puddle. We didn't just come because of a big bang thing. Come on, you didn't come from a monkey.
That's right.
We're God's plan.
Right.
We're God's plan. He made us intentionally. And He made us on purpose with a cause.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And this voice came and deceived Eve. And Adam followed his wife instead of heeding God. And everything got twisted and perverted. And there's wisdom in this world. The spirit of the age. There's a God of this world. There's a prince and power of the air. There's all these phrases that reveal there's this war going on. And it's a demon war against the kingdom of God. It's somehow darkness thinking it can outdo light.
No.
And you get to live in the middle of that and stand on behalf of the king. There's an honor in this. You're a good soldier. You endure hardship. You don't entangle yourself in the affairs of life. These are New Testament scriptures. No one enlisted in his army ever again entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Be honest with me. We've been caught up in the affairs of life, and that motivates our prayers, and we're crying out to God for help and freedom, and we're letting life decide how we're doing.
That's right. Come on.
And if things are going good, we're okay, but we're knocking on wood and looking over our shoulder. And riding out a smooth sea, wondering when it's going to get rough. We can't do that. We can't give ourselves to that, man. If you take adversity personally, you're going to make a big mistake. You're in a demonic war against the kingdom of heaven. You get to stand on behalf of the king. You got to settle in your heart. You've already won. You can't lose. Seriously, you've already won. Your name is in his book called Life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You're in the palm of his hand. You're never going to die.
That's right.
Like, really? How many of us fear death? And the only reason we pray is because of the fear of death. And sentiment drives us. And we pray to survive and hang on. And woo! And then there's no authority. And we're quoting scripture. And we reduce this book to a bunch of principles. We're quoting, hoping to get help. Instead of covenant of love and relationship and knowing him and faith working through love.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I said it yesterday. When you fear something, you have no authority over what you fear. No authority over what you fear. If you fear for your life, you won't have authority in your life. You'll just get caught quoting scripture. And then you'll get confused and wonder why it's not working and it sounds like it's a method or a thing. Jesus' name is not symbolic to abracadabra. We are not trying to find a rabbit in a hat. His name is above every name.
Yes.
Using his name in vain isn't swearing. It's using it without a veil. It's using his name without power, without effect. Come on, it's not a household church name. Name of Jesus. No. He's the name above every name.
Yes.
You've got to understand who he is and what he accomplished. That he's far above all power and principality. And he's for you. And he's not against you.
Thank you, Lord.
Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Today's not a day to be afraid, friend. Today's not a day to worry what's coming upon you. It's rejoicing in what's come in you. The kingdom of God is at hand. So arise, shine, church. Your light has already come. The glory of the Lord has risen and shines upon you. Oh yeah, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. But the light is on you. You feel that? You feel that? I don't talk that way much, but I can't hardly help but say that. You feel that? Woo! I'm going to rub your head. Shoot! You say, what's wrong with you? I'm telling you what's wrong with me. I believe this thing. Man, I don't talk about it much anymore. It's been so long ago, but have witchcraft come to me, try to kill me, put crazy things on me, and you can rock your mind all you want. Well, how's it allowed? Why could it get in? What door did it sneak through? Well, if I understand what he says, then how come? I don't even know how to talk that way and ask those questions that produce consternation. All I know is I got things that are set and sure, and I live from them.
Yes.
I don't have the answers to all those crazy questions that produce doubt and unbelief and quandary. I got answers. And I'm on a foundation of truth. And I'm going to stand on it. And I'm not going to love my own life unto death. So when it comes to try to kill you, I guess fear is not a problem then. Because it ain't about dying because you're not going to.
That's right.
And the worst I can lose is temporal time.
Yeah, right.
Listen to me carefully. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. I'm passing through. I am not surviving. I've already won. I'm passing through, heading to a homeland. This is not home. Yeah. This is where you impart and write your legacy and lay down your life and live toward God and live toward men. This is not where you get your heart hurt and frustrated and angry and offended and let your story become your story. You let his story become your new truth. And you come out of darkness into light. Yeah? Am I too intense right now? I feel intense. I hope I'm okay. You all right?
Come on.
Come on. I'm in the cowboy church. You can handle it. Ride the bull, baby. You feel high. I'm bringing the bull this morning. You are strengthen me like a wild ox, and I'm no puzzled ox. You ain't yoking me up. I'm feeling it right now. Bring the bull. I'm ready. Today's the day. I can do anything in Jesus. I might flip you out, Jason. I get on that bull. You gotta wrap that rope. I don't want a rope. If you need any stallions broke, we'll break them. I'm feeling it right now. I don't know what's wrong with me. Pray for me. Don't laugh. Pray for me. Man. You ain't helping when you laugh. Pray. Ain't it funny? It gets so intense, and then God has us laughing out of our chair. He doesn't want us overwhelmed with what we're saying. He wants us inspired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wants us inspired. This thing is, it's serious, it's real, it's amazing. But he just wants you overwhelmed and condemned and carrying weight you can't bear. Wants you to see the glory of it, the gift of it, the privilege of it. I used to pray to God, I was so serious, so surrendered. Man, you did that alabaster song, I'm toast. I started, as soon as you said, room stood still and started crying, I'm done, because I know what you're singing.
Yeah.
It's really personal to me. Yeah. And, I've been with Jesus, and I feel like it's just personal to me. And I was like, oh, you can't sing that song. I'm not going to be able to preach. But I used to pray to the Lord, and I read Scripture, and I'd say, I realize, I said, now that you came, and it's my responsibility to this, and I take privilege in this, or a responsibility in this. I used to use the word responsibility in prayer, and it didn't last long. And the Lord came to my heart one day in prayer, and he said, hey, every time you want to use the word responsibility, why don't you switch it to privilege? You can't even believe how that changed me. Privilege. If you don't know him and have a viable, intimate relationship with him, you'll get reduced to serving him and doing things for his name. That's where a lot of people live. Do things for the Lord from a distance, in person. And then they always weigh themselves through their doing. He said, every time you feel the word responsibility, rather, I'm privileged to lay down my life because the one I was living wasn't even true. It wasn't even who I was created to be. That thing I was holding on to, that thing I needed you to affirm, was a lie anyway. This gospel didn't cost me everything. It cost me what I never was anyway. All I did was give back the lie to get the truth.
That's good, yeah.
Why is it so hard to deny yourself when you learned you were never created for yourself? Why is it hard to get free from you when you were never made for you? You were made for his image and his glory, and you were made to love. And all of a sudden, faith says, wait a minute, I don't need love from nobody right now. I got so much love from him, I'm overflowing. I got something to give. We're not used to that. We hardly handle that preaching sometimes because we've been so used to our own experience, and psychology has crept in. And yeah, but everybody needs comfort. Everybody needs this. I need you to lock arms and run this race if we're going to have an impact. But the day I need you to know who I am, I'm only as good as you're seeing me and doing me.
Yeah. That's good.
Come on, there's a twist there. You know how many people become a part of something to find identity through what they're a part of? Do you know why there's so much hurt among the church? Because people come with expectations from one another and get them failed so they move on?
Yeah.
It's a dead giveaway. If you're hurt in your heart, you've got wrong perspectives in your life. I'm not ashamed to talk to you that plain. It's not going to hurt you. I want to jerk you out of that thing.
Yeah. Come on.
Because then the more it happens, the more on guard you are, the more leery you are, the more you don't want to get involved. And the last time I got involved, people didn't even appreciate me. Friend, if you're doing it to be appreciated, you got wrong motives. If you need a thank you, it ain't healthy to say thank you. If you need a thank you, how's it love? You're doing it to be appreciated. And you're on thin ice and you're about to get let down. And you're about to be a dead giveaway. Because you're going to get hurt because somebody didn't appreciate the time you gave. Somebody didn't honor your efforts, or they call up Jenny and say, hey, can we just give her a round of applause? She's been faithful for the last couple months. And you could be sitting over there saying, man, I've been faithful for 6 months. They ain't called me up for no round of applause. All this stuff happens weekly. Yeah. Dead giveaway, and then you got hurt and offense in the church, and it's not in the kingdom.
Yeah.
You got hurt and offense in the church, it's not in the kingdom. I mean, come on, what else sanctifies us and sets us apart? We don't think like we used to think. We're not motivated like we used to be motivated. We don't have the same perspective we used to have. We don't have the same reason for being. It's changed. We've become something now that He's come.
Thank you, Lord.
We got a motive in life. We got a new reason, a new purpose. This is what Christianity is. This shouldn't be a shock to none of us, man. It's just been underlaid and covered up, and all of a sudden we're doing Jesus instead of becoming like Him. Now we get trapped in our traditions. All of a sudden we gather, and church attendance is what makes us Christians instead of Christ-likeness. And then we get proud in our gatherings. Well, I'm a part of this. I'm a part of Cowboy Church. Well, I go over here to the Baptist. Well, I'm part of the Pentecostal. Okay, what are you saying? But do you look like Jesus?
Come on.
Do people on your job get convicted by your attitude? Is light shining through your life? I don't care where you go to church, man. Do you look like Jesus? He said, follow me. You know one of the biggest dangers of not understanding what I'm preaching? I know how some of us are raised. And you get to be a mother and you have kids. And you go, well, my babies are growing up in church. And you mamas, you're going to take your babies to church. But watch this. You take your babies to church and your husband, you all do your thing and get to church. But you're not pursuing Christ-likeness. You got some of the same attitudes. You're still shouting down the kids now and then and showing that you got thin frayed wires. And all of a sudden, after a while, you don't even realize it's happening. You're inadvertently teaching your children that Christianity is church attendance.
Come on.
Instead of living like Jesus. And walking in love. And showing mercy and making peace. And you don't even realize you're doing it. Like I've seen it happen so many times. The pastor and I have to pull it aside and say, whoa, stop. You got couples, they mean well. They're part of leadership. But man, they got the three kids. And it's just, they're just learning it. And they got them close together. And two of them in diapers. You know what I'm saying? And Sunday morning comes and, you ain't got it ready yet? Well, I thought you were making... I thought you said, well, no, honey, we got to communicate. Now, here we go. Oh, I don't want to be late again. Oh, we're going to be late. Now, you go, I know, every week, just 1 week, I love to get to church on time. And next thing you know, you fussing right and changing diapers and packing and you rushing to church, getting in the car, and you're half frustrated with each other because there's no communication. But you head to church. And you rush your kids half embarrassed down the hall because church already started, Sunday school's in session. Sorry. And you get to your little chair and you lay your purse down and you lay your jacket in there and you go, what are we doing?
Come on now, that's true.
That's true.
Somebody just gotta stop, get a grip right in the moment and say, wait, honey. I refuse to be tense towards you. Hey, baby, I'm sorry. I thought you were waking up the kids, and I know I got a little smart with you right there. That's not my heart. I love you. Come here, honey. Baby, but we got to get just stuck. We don't got to get to church more than we got to be like Jesus. Come here, let me hold you, honey. Sorry I got tense with you. I don't even want that in our home. I never want that in my heart. You start living that, you're living Jesus. Now you're walking in humility.
Yeah.
Now you're letting your faith rise above your immediate dignity. And you're teaching yourself some good stuff. And Jesus is coming into your home in a different way than He's been. You won't start knowing it. Did you feel it? I don't know why I'm so feeling this morning. He's tearing me up like He's all over me. It's an alabaster song. I don't talk about this stuff much. Ever much. I don't know if I ever told this from the pulpit. my kids were there, I was teaching them that story of worship and that woman and how God sees people and how men see people. I'm pouring into my kids, investing, because I'm living this way. I'm pouring it into them. I'm giving them a chance to follow that thing. And then we turn our little thing, because my kids and me, we would just start loving Jesus together in the house. And I worshiped, and after I taught on this, and I knelt down, and I went to kneel down like this and get low on the floor, and I put my hands down. I don't know what you're ready for. I put my hands on the foot. It was under my hands and I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. And I lost it. And I cried so hard. My tears pouring onto the floor. And there was a foot there. And I began to take my hair and wipe that foot. My kids were overwhelmed. Because Jesus was standing in my living room. And he let me love him the way my heart desires, you know. But I cried on the feet of Jesus. Why? He was my hair. In my living room. You wonder what's wrong with me? I'm trying to explain. You say, you're out of your mind. I'm probably out of yours.
Thank you, Lord.
Look, you know, I'm a very sick and twisted man lying to you without a conscience. Or you look in my eyes and tell I'm serious. He's real.
Yeah. Right.
He's amazing. Yeah. And he wants to live in me and put all that he is in me. And I don't want to limit. And I don't want to be the way I used to be. And I don't want to have attitudes that limit that. And I don't want my rights. And you said, and now I feel, and my outcome, and that ain't fair. No, I grew out of that a long time ago. When I died so I could live. When I died so he could live in me. I got to breathe. I could have been adjusted like I got a lot of boo, man. Shoot.
Thank you.
You got to stop right in that kitchen and hold your wife. Wife, if you got frazzled and you lashed out at your hubby, because you're overwhelmed and you're weighing responsibilities and you think he's got it easier because you got diapers and wash and you feel like he... That's where you got to back off of that thing. Say, baby, come here, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I snapped like that. No, no, honey, you were right. No, this ain't about being right now. It's about loving you. Forgive me, I don't want that in my heart or my home. You start living like that. Show that kind of humility. Instead of waiting for them to make the next move and somehow make up for what can never be made up for because you're still going to be remembering it and mad about it and tell your girlfriend or man friend. Right? If it's a guy or the girl. Right? Don't ever go away what happened. But you can overcome it with love. You guys are just joining in covenant, man. You, this is good teaching for you too. You get it too, ain't you? I like you guys. You just...
Yes.
You're going to do good together. You're going to walk in this thing. It takes two to tango. It takes one. Two to tango. And I'm talking dance. It takes one to make peace.
That's good.
We have a church. I feel you're called to this. How you respond to these kind of teachings reveals what you really believe. I'm not being mean. I'm not being overbearing. How you respond to these kind of messages, because in your heart you can tell it's truth and it's life-giving. Ain't nobody wrestling with the content of what I'm saying. You can feel it in the room. We're like, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you even were so hurt in your heart that you have issues still unresolved, you're like, yeah, but you don't know what he put me through. You don't know how she is and what it's like living with her. In what I'm preaching, that attitude itself is getting totally challenged.
Yeah.
Because here's what you're doing. If you're saying that, you're letting where they're not decide where you are. So as much as you say that you resent them or you despise them, you're letting them decide you. So they might as well sign their name at the bottom of your portrait, because the way you look, they're the reason. So they're authoring your life. And he's the author. They're pottering your life, but he's the great potter. And all of a sudden you're a product of what you've been through instead of a product of what he's been through. It's called born again. It's called putting off the old man and his deeds. He's not always just talking murder and robbery and rape, because some of us have never even contemplated those things. The old man and his deeds is the self-centered motive of your life and the things that it produced. You put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to his image. A man asked me a long time ago, he said, what gifting do you have in the body? What do you think you are? I said, I don't know. I've experienced all the gifts of my life. I don't know, he said. I said, I'm probably a teacher. I know I have pastor in me. I said, I don't know. I don't even think about it. He said, well, I know what you are. And I said, what? He said, you're an image consultant. And I'd never seen that in the gifting list. It's not normal for me to run into people that are actually hypocrites and knowing it, and people that are willfully sinning and hiding it. It's not the norm. The norm is good people that are loving Jesus the best they know and that are being deceived or destroyed by the things they're not understanding.
That's right.
Most of the time, the whole room that I'm standing in front of is good folks that love the cross and that believe they need a Savior. And they ain't trying to find a way to sin and get away with it. Most people in the room are in that boat. They're not living that way. They've just been hurt by life and taken off guard and misunderstanding something. They let a little fox come in and start stealing fruit on the vine. Just a wrong belief. Just one little wrong belief. Just one little thing. Just get one little thing twisted, and all of a sudden everything gets twisted and crazy. And months go by, and all of a sudden you wear out and get here. And all of a sudden your heart just starts to take effect. And next thing you know, your heart's hard. You're angry. You can't even feel soft in your heart because you've been believing something wrong for 6 months and talked about it 10 times. Why? Because factually you're so right that you can't get over it. And they were so wrong that you couldn't stop thinking about it. But to respond that way is not producing life, and Jesus doesn't respond that way. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those persons. It's not enablement. It doesn't make you a doormat. It makes you like Jesus. It doesn't make you passive and a weak link. It makes you extremely strong. When you don't allow where people are to decide where you are, or where people aren't to decide where you are, but where you're positioned in Christ every day, seated with Him. Come on. Don't you let life run you over. Please don't let your heart stay hurt if it's hurt. Please. Don't hold a man so accountable, a woman so accountable, that produces unrighteousness in you. The wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God. Scripture. The wrath of man never ever produces the righteousness of God. And he rules his kingdom with a scepter of righteousness, so the wrath of man is out of bounds. Watch this. Wrath towards yourself will never make you righteous. Being too sorry, you know what I mean, is a trap. You can't be too sorry beyond redemption. You can't stay condemned. When your heart's sorry, your heart's sorry. Yeah, but I shouldn't have did it. Yeah, you know that, so stop talking about it. Yeah, but I wish I never went there. Yeah, that's a given, so it's done. Stop looking back. You're Lot's wife. You're supposed to be his. Stop looking back. Here's what I've learned over the years. People don't understand this. If your heart wasn't pure inside and you didn't have life in you, you couldn't be condemned. Condemnation is a perversion. It's the enemy's lie to get on you, and it only works with somebody that cares. If you didn't care, you couldn't be condemned. So if you're actually buying into condemnation and you actually are caring and feeling bad about what you did, that's actually, there's a good sign there that you're alive inside. You're not wonton. You're not whatever. You're not dead inside. You're not a zombie. People come to me and cry, brother, I need to talk to you. What's going on?
Man, I can't believe what I did.
And I'm like, wow, this is serious. Sincere tears, look at this. And then they tell you the thing they did. And sometimes it's shocking in a sense, sometimes it's not so shocking. It's just like, okay, you're not making light of the sin, but what you're doing is you're noticing where they're at. And they're taking the time to talk to you. They're sincere enough to pull you aside, and they're humble enough to open it up and make it care and know that it matters. And you don't miss that. But they don't see that. All they see is what they did wrong that they didn't expect, and they're failed in themselves, and they're disappointed with themselves. And when they tell you, their tears are streaming, and their hearts are broken, and they can't believe they did this, and they're telling you, and I'll look right at them and say, man, I am so blessed to see how pure your heart's become through the gospel. And they look at you and think you're being cynical, and they say, pure? Did you hear what I just said I did? Well, I did. We'll talk about it in a minute, but I see who you are. And the biggest lie is if you let what you did infringe on who you're becoming,
come on,
you're going to be way deceived. There's life inside of you. There was a time in your life you'd have did what you told me and wouldn't even blink, friend. You'd have had it justified. You'd have had a right. You'd have had no conviction.
Yeah.
And now it's breaking your heart. Yeah. Make sure it don't cross the line into condemnation. You're a lot farther along than you think. Yeah. That's how I pastor. I'm a good pastor. I ain't gonna let you stay there if he paid a price to get you out of there while you were yet a sinner. Come on, if he loved you while you were yet a sinner and reconciled you through his death, Romans 5, how much more will he save you from wrath now that he lives? You all know and love the song. He could probably tear it up because he lives. Right? And everybody would sing along. I could face tomorrow because he lives.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How much more will you be saved from wrath? Because he lives. Because he goes to the Father. Whew. Said, I did not come into the world to condemn you, that you might have life. He says in John 12, he says, I didn't come to condemn you. I came that you might be saved. But you'll have my word that will judge you in that day. He's calling you accountable to his word. That's why we teach and preach. You know why we gather on days like this? To stir one another up with love and good works. To stay focused. To make sure we ain't deceived. Make sure life didn't sneak up on us. Make sure we all stay in the race and we're well tuned. Get the oil changed if need be. But let's get that motor running. That's why we gather. We don't gather to pay homage to God. We don't gather to qualify. You already qualified through the blood. You don't gather to be accepted. Your name's not jotted down. Made it on Sunday. Heaven's not taking roll call. People think that stuff. Well, I made it to church. Heaven sees. They're like, heaven's got this big book. Church today. Ooh, no church. What do you think would be more powerful? That family I described trying to make it on time and they're stressing and fretting and they get their kids into church and they're doing the religious thing. What do you think's more viable in their life? If they just stop in their tracks and never even make it to the service but do Jesus right in their kitchen.
Yeah.
Amen. And pull their kids aside and say, listen, and all of a sudden they're just having a little time in the Lord and there's no animosity and there's love between them. Yeah. See, you know, they got four kids, not three. It happens, girl. I had so much fun with her last. She said, it's good, I still love you. I'm picking on her last night. But you know, you don't know their story, maybe. But they weren't doing good. They were believing lies, and they got listening to these messages.
Yeah.
And changed their heart.
Thank you.
And they're together and they're doing good. But they see each other differently. Yeah, that's why I was sitting there weeping. The husband's sitting there crying. And I looked at her and I looked down at her belly and I said, well, it looks like things is going good. And they were so humble talking, they didn't blame each other nothing. She said, I was realizing I had this, I was believing this. And he said, oh man, I was. And I'm like,
yes, yes.
So there's a marriage sitting, but not just a marriage, reproducing now, having their third boy, right? I got it right? Having a third boy, and they didn't think they were going to make it. It wasn't looking good.
Thank you, Lord.
Now they together, they got the gospel. They're taking responsibility in their own heart for the word and got a better view of one another now.
Yes.
Got their eyes off of the stuff. Got their eyes in the right place, took accountability. People say, Brother, my spouse just left. I need you to pray they come back. I say, how about we just pray you get formed in Christ? I'm not saying you're the reason they left, but I don't think the push is get your spouse back. I think the push is you become the person you're called to be in the midst of this challenge.
Yes.
So that God looks at your life and so sees Himself in you that He's inclined to say, you know what? I'm going to turn them back this direction. They're going to bump right into me anyway.
Awesome.
Look, God's not compelled to just bring your spouse back because it was your spouse if He's not seeing Himself in you. Why would He do that? I'm not saying if your spouse left, He didn't see Himself in you. What I'm saying is, why would He do that? Don't hear what I'm not saying. So our goal was always to have Christ formed. Now, as Paul said, tirelessly, man, we go after this with full measures of grace. We go after this till this mystery is revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in another scripture, he says, till Christ be formed in you. It's a goal. That's why we gather, to stay focused and stay fixed. I'm going to be short and sweet with you. I want to throw one little thought out. I'm short on Sunday mornings, always. I know you don't believe that, but I'll prove that. I don't think we have to stay here all day, and that doesn't mark us spiritual. I think we need to hear what God's saying, apply it to our life, and be a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the storm comes, you hear that little season of grace? The wise man hears and does what he heard. I like to say he becomes that. He puts that into his life. And when the storm comes, Satan comes because of the word. He comes immediately for the word's sake. There's a place for you to say, that's mine. I'm going after this. And you settle in your heart with yes before God. And as you walk out into life, something's coming, threatened by the word. It's for the word's sake. Not to take you out, take the word out. Because you have kingdom potential. And this adversity comes on your life. I'm back to where I started now. If you take adversity personal, don't make a mistake. You're forgetting it's all about the kingdom of God. There's a war going on against the kingdom of God. You get to fight on behalf of the king. Don't take adversity personally. You don't know what I'm going through, where everything seems to go wrong. As soon as I get this, then this. And then you're going to learn to feel sorry for yourself. You're going to draw sympathy from others at best. You're going to feel like people don't care enough about you. It just happens all the time. And I'm not saying these things aren't challenges and tough. And I wish it wasn't that way. In the natural, it would be great if nobody had stuff. But we'd probably be some weak pushover people. You gotta get cowboy. He defined cowboy yesterday. You can see it in him too. He was getting fired up. He told me, he said, cowboy is an attitude.
Yeah.
Only he can teach it, right? He said, cowboy is an attitude. I was like, what? I was over against the door. Bless you, brother. Love you. You gotta get that attitude. I say, man, I'm here for one reason. I've been saying this all weekend. It's really must be important. This house can grab what I'm saying. I'm here for one reason. I'm here to shine. I'm only here for one reason. Shine. Have fun. Find an amazing spouse. Have a great family. So into your 401k or whatever. But in the whole process, make sure you shine. Make sure you shine. Because that's why you're here. Ye are the light of the world. Jesus said that. It's not blasphemy. Jesus said it.
Yeah.
Ye are the... I thought you were. Yeah, I'm in you. That makes you light.
That's right.
Ye are the light of the world. So let your light... Don't get frustrated. Don't get caught up in your rights, human reasoning, human wisdom, way this seems right. Let your light so shine before men that they might see.
That's right.
This thing is simple. Think how easy it's been to get our heart hurt, to get discouraged. and feel like we don't want to try no more. That is a demonic trap to suppress our potential and what's really going on. And it's the only way the enemy can win the war. Because you can't go knock God off a throne. He ain't going to go in there and pin Jesus and even gain points in a wrestling match. He is toast. Like one spirit, holy, goes into the realm of death and raises Jesus from the dead, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Nobody. They ain't walkie-talkies, come in the back corridor, can you surround him from the right? It's overwhelming from the left. One spirit, Holy Spirit, goes into the realm of the dead and says, you're coming with me, son. And he raises Jesus from the dead, and there's no thing anybody can do about it. We ought to get that stuff right there. I think we watch too many movies. We think Holy Spirit goes in there and he's like, hey, Gabriel, I need you to come around that back corridor. There's nobody back there right now. Come in on the back side. Michael, I want you to get around in front. We'll surprise them. If they press me, if they overwhelm me a little bit, I want you to charge in. I'll give you the signal. No. Holy Spirit, you boys, just stay where you're at. Hang around the throne. 24 hours, do what you do. Seraph and Jeremy, just do what you do. I will get the son.
Yeah!
One spirit, Holy Spirit, walks in and lights up the place.
Yes.
You do know light's greater than darkness, right?
Yeah.
So nobody walked into a bright room and said, man, can somebody turn up the dark? This stuff is simple. It's not rocket science. So if the room gets dimmer, somebody turn down the light. See, I just hate working there. It's just so dark. I'm tired of hearing Afrikaans all day long. So I get home, I'm so weary. God, you need to give me another job. Oh, I pray he balls and chains you at that job. My prayer is, God, ball and chain him. Put him in my life sentence until they get a revelation. Don't let them run from what they're called to. Don't let them be weak and wimpy and run. Don't let them stay self-centered in their prayer. Man, if you really would ask God where he wants you and what he wants you to do, you'd be amazed. People church shop. They don't ask Jesus where he wants to plant. They look for personalities they like. They look for music that suits them. They church shop. And then pastors and leaders try to produce a product that people want to buy.
That's right. That's right. That's good preaching.
Oh, that's good.
Amen.
Thanks for encouraging me. Feeling it. This is scary because I'm way over here feeling it. I deserve to ride a bull and I would be killed. You would save me. You would jump in front of me. You guys doing good?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me talk about this one point real quick. You guys all right?
Yes.
Just take a few minutes.
Yeah. Come on.
We'll be out of here real soon. I won't be long. I just got one point I want to nail down. I talk about it a lot. It's never redundant to me. It has to do with this perspective thing. It has to do with not entangled with the affairs of life and endure hardship. Good soldier. It has to do with faith. It has to do with not taking life personal, taking the gospel personal, understanding your place in adversity. I don't like to talk about adversity much. We ought to. It seems like when you ask people how they're doing, they tell you their two biggest trials and say, keep me in prayer. Which gives us away. We are doing as good as it's going. Instead of as good as he is in us. And we have this strange idea that we're Christians to believe for better circumstances. You're Christians to shine. Read scripture. There's times nobody's going to appreciate you. There's times people are going to take your good and twist it and call it bad. There's times people are going to hate you for your stance, what you believe. There's times you're in your own family and your hunger threatens them so bad that they don't even appreciate your true desire for God.
Yeah.
You get a little bit on fire, and your family has such a background in a denomination or a tradition, and all of a sudden you say something that's a little out of the box of what they were taught since they can remember hearing language. And they're going to freak out and say you're a heretic, or you're off the deep end, or we're afraid, or you're in a cult. It's amazing how people freak out. Like the freak out meter. Just mention Jesus and it ain't Sunday. You've been hanging around. We got a hold of you. What do you mean? Well, you just seem too happy. Like, you need to get real. I feel like you're just in, you know, like some kind of bubble, some la la land. Like, you just seem too happy. Why are you so happy? What are you trying to do? You trying to send a hidden message with your song? You're over there singing and living. Well, I ain't never heard you sing and living. Well, there's a song in my heart now. What do you mean? Well, I got saved. What do you mean you got saved? I took you to church. You prayed that prayer when you were 8. Yeah. I know I prayed that prayer when I was 8. I don't really have much of a memory of it, Mama, but I know I got baptized and stuff. I remember getting wet, but I just encountered God. What do you mean you encountered God? I got born again. You prayed that prayer when you were 8. I've had parents. I've had people come to me, cry and say, can I get water baptized? I say, sure. I've had their parents call me. They're 23, 4, 5, 28, 30 years old. Have their parent call me. I'm talking teenage. What do you do with baptizing my son? Well, what do you mean? I had him baptized when he was born. Okay, great. Mama, what are you talking about? Why are you mad? That's a dedication. That's a strength. And that's a dedication. This is a believer baptism. Something's took. Something's stuck. You're in the street and you should be happy.
Come on.
You're feeling offended. Come on. This ain't about you. This is about your son and a revelation and a commitment to God.
Yes.
And you think it's crossing and violating your sentimental actions when he was born? Stop it. You're thinking wrong.
Yes.
You say, you talk like that to people all the time. All the time. When I'm in counseling, if you're telling me you're a Christian and you ask me to counsel you and you tell me you're a Christian, I'm holding you to that. When you go sit there and face this way and your wife's facing that way, that don't work for me. And I say, well, would somebody like to start off by we're here? Well, she's the know-it-all. He's the mouth. Yeah? I'm the wrong fella to have in a room if you ain't serious about God. Because the truth is, I can't help you one bit. Because you're both stuck on yourselves and bound in selfish lives. And if somebody does yield, it'll just feed that thing like a monster and make you worse. You'll be more of a controller than you've ever been. And you'll say, I love you, and it'll be a lie every time it comes out of your mouth because your life doesn't prove. You're full of conditions. Now I won't even counsel them. You know what I'll do? I'll say, listen, you guys got me stumbled right now, okay? Confusion ain't of God, and I'm starting to get there. So I need you both to look at me. And this is true stuff. This isn't analogies. This stuff has happened to me. I'll say, I need you to look at me. I need to ask you a serious question. They look at me. They're like, are you born again? That's what I ask. What do you mean, are we born again? We've been coming to your church for 3 years. Coming to church don't make you born again.
That's right.
Christ-likeness is born again. And there ain't nothing in you right now that remotely looks like that. And I'm concerned that you've become religious and self-deceived.
Yes.
And you're holding on to the form of something without an ounce of that something prevalent in your life. That's how I pastor. I'm not going to let you lie to yourself. Lie yourself straight to judgment. And do it while you're sitting in church. Because you prayed a prayer when you were 8. You can forget that prayer with me. It don't mean nothing. Your life surrender means something. Your commitment, your sincere repentance. The kingdom of God has never come to any man without repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. Peter said it.
all the way through. Like that. Change my mindset. What's that mean in their situation? It ain't time to be mad at my wife, even if she's wrong. It's time to love her, even if she's being willful. If she's being willful, that means she sure don't see who she is, and I should cry for her, not cry because of her. Why would I be mad at her? I should have mercy towards her. If my husband's this lost, and he's this angry, and he can do this in front of pastor, this is sobering. Wow, my husband's far from God. I should care about that. He's a living soul. Jesus coming someday. Why should I be mad at him and frustrated at wit's end? Man, I want to cry for that man. It's called repentance. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm the wrong fellow to call into the council before. If you're serious about growing in Jesus. Because you're either going to hate me and have right to in your own twisted up thinking by the end of the meeting. Or you're going to rip that crop and get it right and start working towards truth. And I'm a very gracious, merciful, amazing, loving man. I am in that. I'll give you time, bro, and I'll give you assignments. If you're going to sit there and claim something and not give yourself to that thing, I'm calling you. I've talked about sexual stuff and impropriety stuff. They'd be in the room and I say something. I had gentlemen look at me, men look at me, and are frustrated because the woman starts crying. Because they're just messing up. And he'd just be like, oh. I had one young man look at me, a young man in our church look at me and say, thanks a lot, Pastor. You just cut me off. That's what he said. And I said, ma'am, could you step out a little, please? Yeah, just close the door. Close the door, and God said, ma'am. I said, listen, man, I don't own you, and I don't control you, and I don't have any desire to control you. But if you're really a man, and a man of God, I suggest you sit up and let me talk to you straight. You handle it. Or just get up and walk out of the room and stay the way you are, and that would be a shame. You ready? Most of the time, I'll have him crying in 5 minutes. Because it's just me and him. He's exhausted. His heart does. Most of the time. Very few times the people left my office mad. I'm going to give it to you straight. I won't let you do that to yourself. You're worth it all. I won't let you do that to another. They're worth it all.
Right.
There ain't nobody on the earth born with the job description to meet your needs.
We good preaching, dude. You all get married.
March what? March 3rd. I'll be in Alabama preaching. I'll be preaching the gospel. Imagine that. In Alabama. So I told you I was closing. See how sidetracked I get? I didn't even go to what I was going to go to. I hope I make my flight. No. I want you to look at something in 2 Timothy quickly with me, and I'll just talk about it a little. Not much. I don't need to go much with this. I just want to share a little perspective with you that comes from the Bible. That's amazing that I saw loud and clear 2 years ago and felt like God said, preach it strong. It's something I've seen and known my whole life, and scratched around at it, and understood it in my personal life. But 2 years ago, the Lord was one of those, made it big in me and said, hey, this needs proclaimed. You know what I'm saying? So, and it probably always did, but he just emphasized it in that season 2 years ago. So I've been talking about it a lot. You guys know this scripture, okay? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the what? The good fight. So what fight do you think he's talking about when he says, I fought the good fight? The end of 1 Timothy 6, he says, fight the good fight of... See, you don't fight the devil, and you don't fight people. You fight the good... A lot of people think you fight the devil. You don't fight the devil, you submit to God. You're submitting to God as your fight. You fight the devil, you'll get tired, you'll get distracted, it's weird. Just why would you give a cut off withering branch attention? He loves when you put him on the stage. He'll perform. He'll do it good. You ever been ignored in your life? Did you ever play as kids the little games with you? You hear somebody talking? I don't hear nobody talking. Oh, come on, man. The guy gets so mad. You just ignore him up, right? Why don't you just submit to God? He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. Yeah? So many people go, I'll find you, I'll beat you. And then after they do it, a little later that thought comes, I'll find you. After a while they wonder why it's not working. And they spend 20 minutes talking to the devil. He's a liar. You only replace a lie with truth. You fight the good fight of... What that means is you never lose the perspective of who you've become and why you're here in the midst of it all. You never lose sight of the why behind your life now that you're in Christ. You fight the good fight of faith. You keep believing the truth in the face of everything and you stay fixed on it. Paul said, in the midst of it all, I have fought the good fight. I didn't let the stonings, I didn't let the beatings, I didn't let the whippings, I didn't let the persecution, I didn't let the Christian betrayal, I didn't let nothing stop me from what I'm here for and called to. I have fought this good fight. Ain't that something? You know how many people hurt in ministry? You know how many people, I used to, the Lord said to me a long time ago, I don't want you to have used to's in your life. I'm going to say, well, I used to love God. I used to be close to God. I used to be a pastor. Oh, I used to lead worship. Happens to me on airplanes all the time. I get talking. Oh, yeah, I used to go first. Wow. That doesn't sound good. Well, I find out that they used to, but something happened. And it always goes hand in hand. When they pull out of that arena called church or fellowship, cost them intimacy and relationship. So when they have a used to in their life, they don't have a closeness with God. At best, they have a belief system. And that's pretty weak. I was on a plane with a lady. She said, well, I said, oh, honey. I said, what's going on? Because she heard I was a Christian, and so she was laughing. We were talking about this. It'll be fun. And then when she found out why I was in town, she just shut down on me. And I tapped her right on. I said, hey, you ain't really doing that, right? We were like all of a sudden you just, what's going on? Oh, don't take it personal. It ain't neither good or bad. I said, I mean, it ain't good. And I said, obviously there's something going on in your background, church, Christianity, your view of God, something. Because when I said that, you just totally changed. I said, I was really hoping you'd tell me you loved her. And I tapped her again. You do love him. She said, well, I mean, I have my belief system. I said, oh, honey, that's tragic. Excuse me? I said, what you're saying is you've been hurt in church. You let your heart get hurt. It's cost you your relationship with God. So now you're hiding behind the language of a belief system, but you don't know him. You're not walking with him. And your conscience is violated. You're convicted all the time. She said, did you get all that out of what I just said? I said, it's true. She crying so hard. I got one more word for her. I gave it to her. She's bawling the second time. Flight attendant comes storming. She comes. She's doing her job. She's being right. She thinks I'm distracting the lady. The lady's being distracted. She's crying hard on an airplane. People are like, she said, ma'am, I have a seat up here. I'm going to move you to the seat up front. She said, no, I'm fine. She said, you don't look fine, ma'am. I'm going to move you. And she glared at me, the flight attendant. I just smiled, because if I'm a blessing, she'll bear witness. If I defend myself, now I'm being judged. But if I'm a blessing, she'll bear witness. So I just smiled. Because I ain't trying to hurt nobody. And I'm not trying to make a scene. I'm not trying to take over the airplane. I know some people think that way, but I'm not. I'm just loving one lady. She's right beside me. So she's going to get it. Today, I'm going to put a seatbelt on. I And somebody might make a mistake and say, how are you doing? And I'll probably say, well, I'm hanging in there, man. I'm just hoping my flight's on time.
Probably not what I'm going to say. I'm like a human pool cord dog.
So how are you doing? Hey, there, I love you.
The flight attendant came, and she said that, and she laughed.
And she's like, okay. I'm sure. This lady's trying to recover, and the Lord did something phenomenal. You can say this to 1,000 people, and they look at you cockeyed, but I said it to her. We hadn't talked. I didn't know nothing about her. This all was in the beginning of just getting her seats, putting her bags up, and laughing, and talking. And she said, why are you in town? I told her, and she shut down on me. Bam, now she's bawling twice. In a 3-minute period, she has two. So she's trying to pull together, and she's a little trembly. Because conviction's all over. Jesus is sitting with her. And that's not blasphemous.
Yeah.
He's sitting with her.
Yes, yes.
Because I'm not overwhelmed with life. I'm not worried about my connection. I'm not. None of that is a problem. It's not about what seat I'm in. It's Christ in me.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. It ain't my boarding zone. It's none of that. And all of a sudden I say, honey, she's almost like, oh no. Seriously, she said. I said, I need you to look at me just one more thing. What? She kind of barely looks up at me, and I said, no, you need to look at me. She looks right at me, she takes a deep breath, because she's emotional. I looked right in her eyes, and I said, Crohn's disease is no match for the blood. She's... Because she's suffering horribly from Crohn's disease. So how do you know that, sir? He knows everything.
Yes.
And he lives in me, and I'm not bothered by life. I'm ready to hear that stuff. I'm ready to say, I'm not caught up with me. I'm not caught up with uncomfortable. I'm not caught up with nothing. I'm on the earth for a reason. To shine. She falls apart. I look up, and here come the flight attendants. She's coming, man. It's like the school teacher you're afraid of. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I hope Miss Kelly's getting mad. Miss Kelly looking at you over them glasses. Oh, I hope she's looking at Bobby. But she's coming. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. She said, that's it, ma'am. Gather your things. I'm moving you up here. She's a little frustrated. I'm just sitting there waiting for this thing to unfold and see where it goes. I have no clue. My life's a journey. I'm like in the moment. Adventure. She said, okay, ma'am, that's it. Gather your things. You're moving. I'm just sitting there. A lady arm hooks me. Hooks me up on the arm. This lady has hair. She has hair. You know what I mean? She has hair. I didn't ask her heritage, her nationality. She seemed like she might have been had a black in her. She seemed like she might have had a white parent, a black parent. That's how she appeared to me. Very light skinned, but she looked like a black woman, but very light skinned. But man, did she have hair. She arm hooked me and pressed her head down into my shoulder, onto my chest. And said, I ain't moving, this man is helping me. And I got hair, I can't. That flight attendant said, she didn't know what to do, it wasn't her fault, she's doing her job. She's trying to help the lady, she thinks I'm some kind of something. And I looked at her and smiled gently. I had to move the hair. I'm exaggerating now. She did have some hair, and I had to be. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. You don't understand. I'm a Christian. I heard some things in my heart about her. Totally sure it's a sugar, but it's a good thing. I'm going to pray God's going to heal her on this flight. I knew what was wrong with the body, and now the flight attendant's like, so it never stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
Never stops. My personal record, personal is, and I want that beat, but my personal record is being stopped 4 times before I get into the jetway by people for prayer. Because of what they saw and experienced in the flight. 3 times, a lot. 4 is my record. Where you're walking, trying to go out the jetway to your next flight, and somebody grabs your sleeve and they're trembling. Excuse me. I mean, you're just a little frail woman. Just go, excuse me? And I say, yes, ma'am, what? That was so beautiful back there, what you did to that woman, what you said. I said, okay, yeah, that was the Lord. I know that was the Lord. I was just wondering, did you want me to pray? Yeah. Real stuff. And he's standing there. Fire! Ah! I'm kidding. You don't do that. Don't do that. You pray so gently, and she's weeping, and you start weeping. You go like 10 feet, and somebody's standing there waiting for you to come. Boy, that sure beats being caught up with your day.
Yeah.
And your feelings, and I'm so uncomfortable, and I can't wait till this trip is over, and oh, another flight. I think we just need to see what might be possible.
Yeah.
Get our view tweaked a little bit. So some doors might open for more. Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah.
I was in Kentucky, and this lady got off the plane. She couldn't walk down the steps for 20 years. She was afraid of surgery. Her kids were like, you got to get fixed, Mom. She said, I ain't going under no anesthesia there. She's walking bone on bone for 20 years. Yeah. She's sitting beside me. She was already in there when I boarded it because I was running almost to make my flight. And I sat beside her and said, hey, man, what? She said, well, you made it. She was sweet. Made it. We get talking. Where are you heading? I said, oh, man, I'm excited. I'm going to preach Jesus in Kentucky. I'm really? You a pastor? I said, well, I mean, I've pastored and so I just love Jesus and changed my life. And people invite me to come and talk about him. So, and we were sharing. And guess what? Out of all the testimonies I could have told her, I pulled this thing out of the hat and told her about this lady in Denver who was bone on bone. And I said she was shuffling and couldn't walk. And we watched Jesus restore her knees. And she's just staring at me and tears filled her eyes. And I looked at her and I said, whoa, you're that woman. That's your situation. She said, my heart's pounding out of my chest. When you brought it up, something's going on. I said, honey, it's God. We prayed. She's freaking out. She's sitting in the seat. She's going, I'm healed. And I'm like, honey, I want you to get up and walk. I want to see. She said, I don't have to walk. You don't understand. I could just put pressure and turn my ankle and it shoots up my whole, I'm going, you have no idea. I'm pushing, I'm pressing, I'm twisting, I'm turning. There ain't no sensitivity, pain. I'm healed. She's fired up. And I'm like, well, I still want to see you walk, you know. And I don't need to. I'm telling you. I'm like, okay. So we're sitting there and people are listening. We're not trying to be loud, but they got to hear. So we get up, and we're getting the bags, and we're heading out. Or we just had the little luggage. It was a gate check. You know what I mean? You gate check your bag, and then they bring them to you on the tarmac, and everybody's waiting. So I have a little church congregation there. This is a setup. Like, I got everybody waiting. I should have had you there, man. We all missed our next flight. I should have had you there, man. So we get there, and she's tapping me on the shoulder. She's tapping me. She says, I'm healed. I said, I believe you, honey. I said, listen, we got this little puddle jumper, these fold-down steps. The door turned into steps. So you got 6 steps that are almost straight down with railings. I said, what would that have been like before we prayed? Oh, she said, that would have been ugly. She said, I'd have had to get extra help. I'd have had to have somebody above me, below me. She said, I would have went down, you know, each step at a time, 2 feet on a step, and it would have took me a long time to get down there. I said, here's what I want you to do. Please, just stand here. And everybody's like, what are they doing? And the flight attendant's right there listening. I said, I'm going to run down. I'm going to turn. I'm going to watch. Don't you come down until I get down there. I want you to walk down, boom, 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 like you've never, ever been boom, boom, boom. Will you? She said, I'm ready. It was the most beautiful. You just cry because of what's possible if you have the right mindset, if you have the right perspective, if you don't let life sneak up on you, if you don't have your heart hurt and hard and you're not caught up with issues. How easy is it to get caught up with issues? You got to guard against that stuff. You want to be squeaky clean. You want to be a pipe. He's just flowing through. Yeah? Yeah. I get down the bottom of the steps. I said, come on, honey. She goes, boom, boom. On the third step, she's going, ooh, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I mean, we're having church now. She's going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And she runs and she falls on me. And I'm like, whoa, Jesus. And everybody's waiting for their bag. And they're all looking. I look up and they're all there looking. Like, what's going on? I'm holding her. And she's bawling. And I'm leaning out over her shoulder and I start preaching to the I start telling them exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus changed my life many years ago. He lives inside of me. I'm sharing a testimony about a lady that just got healed. And it happened to be her very condition. We prayed, God has given this woman brand new knees. People, you just saw her come down. She hasn't done that for 20 years. 20 years, people. It's a Bible story. When he's on the earth today, we can keep writing the book of Acts. I'm just preaching. He wants to live in every one of you. I'm going for it. Now our bags are coming. I got to get to a flight. Oh no, I was at my destination. I got to get out and get picked up, so I wasn't in a super rush, but I got my bag. And, excuse me. Yeah? Can you pray? Excuse me. Can you pray? Excuse me. Four times. Couldn't get out of the jet lag. Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
I was at Charlotte Airport. I saw a man get healed on the steps. His whole family was there. And he went ballistic. If you're ever in Charlotte, it's busy. It's busy. And he stopped this. Freaking out. He could hardly make it down the steps. I thought he was going to fall. I ran and grabbed him. I said, oh my goodness, sir. He said, oh, no, no, thank you, man. It just looks bad, but I'm getting around. I said, what's going on? He told me about the damage and the injury. I prayed for him. I didn't even know his family was there. I'm just fixed on him. The most priceless thing about it was his 6-7-year-old little granddaughter is watching Grandpa walk. And freak out and walk. And she's staring at me like I'm Jesus. She says, it was so priceless. I hugged him. He said, I want you to meet my family. I said, you saw your family? Oh my goodness, I didn't even see you guys. And they're weeping. And they're like, I said, I got to get to my gate. I'm running late, but I got to go. But this was fun. Thanks for letting me pray for you guys. You're amazing. And this little girl says, like I'm a superhero. And I realized what she was feeling and thinking at a young age. And I leaned down and pat her on the head. I said, hey, dude. She just stared. I said, what you just experienced and saw is real. And it's Jesus. He lives inside of you. And I said, she'll never forget this marker. I said, and he wants to live inside of you. And he wants to do the same things. And she's like, it was powerful. Yeah. And there's so much more to that story I can't even tell it. Because it just, sometimes it's like a pinball in the machine. It's a snowball. I wanted to be done at 11, I'm sorry. Faith. I fought the good fight. Right? So I've run the race. What do you say? I kept the faith. You have to understand that the word the is in front of faith a whole lot in the New Testament. It's because he's not talking about a tool in your belt to get a prayer answered. He's not talking about that kind of faith. He's not talking about the faith that you use for healing or the faith to get a new job or the faith to not be laid off. He puts the in front of the word faith because it's a perspective. It's something we're all supposed to possess and have the same. That's how there's one faith, one mind. one spirit. Watch. Contending for the faith. Established in the faith. Built up in the faith. Obedience to the faith. Any more examples? The faith. The enemy roams like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, standing steadfast in the faith. Doesn't say in faith. In the faith. There's a reason the word the is in front of it. He's saying it's a perspective. It's a perspective that you impart into your life through truth, through understanding the whole gospel. And it's a view. It's a mindset that you get. It's a one mind. We all get it. We all understand why we're in this thing. We all understand why he's in us. We all understand why we woke up. Come hell or come high water, we live by faith. And it's the faith. We understand who we've become now that he came, and we don't let anything change that. It's where we live from. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I can show you a whole lot of scriptures. I just don't feel like I need to take the time. But you can see where Moses... And he did it by faith. And you look at the patriarchs of faith in Hebrews 11. And check it out and see if it's not right. All these patriarchs of faith, none of the faith that they're honored for was faith to move a mountain. It was faith to keep on living what they were called in the face of adversity. It's the primary use of faith, in my opinion, in the New Testament, is a perspective you and I gain. It's a place we live from. If our eyes single, our bodies flooded with light. So Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt and didn't count the pleasures of sin. And by faith, he didn't fear the king. And it's just amazing. And you look at by faith. And it was like these people had a perspective that they didn't allow to change, so they fought the good fight of faith. You get it? So this is a scripture, I'll close it with you, just to show you that it's a perspective and it's this beautiful. Galatians. Check this out. I'm doing this really fast. This is a real fast version of this revelation in my heart, but so established in the faith, contending for the faith. Resisting him, standing steadfast in the faith. So Satan's coming roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for vulnerability. He's looking for foxes in the orchard. He's looking for wrong thinking, wrong believing. He's looking for people that will take life personal. He's looking for people that are afraid. He's looking for people that don't understand. He's seeking whom he can devour. He's looking for somebody limping in the herd. An easy target. Somebody that will take people personal. Somebody that's insecure and needs affirmation to feel valuable. He's looking for weakness. And he wants to strike right there. Don't you make it easy for him. Don't you be a target. You make it really hard. Yeah? Because he ain't going to stop looking. Don't you make it hard. Yeah? He's seeking who he may devour. Resist him standing. Do you see? You're resisting is your perspective. You're not fighting him. Resist him standing steadfast in the faith. Your standing steadfast in belief is your resisting. You're not fighting him. You're continuing to believe. Your fight is believing in the midst of the trial. Yes. Your fight is not changing your mind when your feelings try to run wild. Yeah? It's called the faith. It's when them Hebrew boys are facing Nebuchadnezzar and he says, you need to bow to my image. They said, we ain't bowing to your image, man. You're not the Lord. We're only bowing to the Lord. You're not the Lord. Well, if you don't bow to my image, I'll throw you into my fiery furnace. We have no need to even answer you in this matter, O king. What is your fire to us? Yeah. Old covenant, three Hebrews, understood. King was so enraged, he said, let's crank it up seven times hotter. He probably did him a favor, because if you're going to die, it'll be quicker. It was so hot that when they opened the door, his two men got consumed. The king's men got consumed. I still don't know how the three guys ended up in the furnace if the two men that opened the door got consumed. Jesus must have kicked them in. An angel must have said, let's teach this king a lesson. Can't push their voice in the furnace. Why? Because that fire ain't no threat to him. He's Lord over the fire. He didn't come with myriads of angels and put the fire out. That would give the fire honor.
Yes.
He left it burn. And he stood right in the middle of it with his boys. Sometimes you think if the problem don't go away, you ain't okay. You ain't okay when you let the problem decide you. The Christian testimony is no smell of smoke. The Christian testimony isn't not being in a fire. The Christian testimony is no smell of smoke. Fourth man came in there. Hey, how many men did we throw in? Three? Well, there's four. You ever watch VeggieTales? It's my favorite. I cry on VeggieTales. I'm so in love with Jesus. When that light shaft shoots into that furnace and it comes out all them holes, I cry. I said, that's Jesus, that's Jesus. My granddaughter looks and waits for me to cry. And I know it's coming, so I cry before it comes. I'm such a softy, man. I want my heart like that. That little veggie guy, he says, hey, boss, how many did we throw in the furnace? Big old pickle with the warts. You understand?
He says, three.
He says, well, boss, there's four in there, and one of them is really shiny. He says, Red, Jack, Benny, come out of the furnace, for your God has saved you. And I'm like, wow. They had no fear of death. It wasn't about the fire. It wasn't about if they were going to die. It was about the honor of who they knew was Lord and what they were going to believe.
Yes.
They weren't going to bow in fear and serve the enemy. Man, whether we live, whether we die, we do it unto the Lord. They went into that furnace and that's what saved them.
Yeah.
I think Jesus pushed them in. How'd they get in there? The thing is raging so hot, the king's men opened the door and consumed crispy bacon.
Yeah.
It consumed them.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody left to get them in. I think God had fun with their family. He's like, we are going to mess with the king and his holy. Because the king got so freaked out. He said, I'm going to make a new decree. The king was really messed up, right? He's like, anybody that doesn't bow to Miami is going to die in that fire. Now, they pull him out. He said, anybody that doesn't worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're dead meat. He wasn't quite getting it yet. But he was converted. Watch this. Paul says this. This is amazing. For I have been, verse 20, you know this. We quote this. This is refrigerator stuff, right? But let's see what it really means. I have been crucified with, and it's not I who live. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's not I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life, and some translations say, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The life I live, it's not living in me, it's the Christ that's in me, right? It's not my own life. Now watch this. But the life which I now live in the flesh, that means in my body, not by flesh dictates, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We think power and glory. People, preachers say, look, you got the faith of the Son of God. What he's talking about is the life I now live. I live by the perspective I inherited from him. And then he defines the perspective. Watch. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Ain't that amazing? So what's the law that fulfills all laws? Love God with everything you are and love your... And greater love hath no man than this. He lay down. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. But the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith. By the faith of the Son of God. I live by the perspective that I found in him. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm going to love you and give myself for you. I would say that's the end of frustration, discouragement, jealousy, bitterness, anger, pride, discouragement.
Yeah.
People say God gave us emotions, not the ones you grew up with, he did. Adam gave you the time to get born again. All the emotions you grew up with were springing out of a self-centered wellspring. Nobody had to teach you to be angry. It came by instinct. You take the binky when they ain't done with it. You take the little cuppy when they want it. We were angry before we could speak a language. Because every man was born into himself. And he was made to be found in his image. So unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross, you can't follow him. You can sing to him. You can pray to him. The higher goal is follow him. Ain't that so? You get something out of this?
Yeah.
So we're going to live by it. I'm done. I should have been done a while ago. I had so much fun with you guys. I guess one of the funnest, I'm not just saying this because you already like me. I'm saying this so you like me. I'm saying this because I mean it. This is one of the funnest weekends I've had in a long time. Yeah. 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 Fun. And, my wife, you ought to see it. I don't tell many people I have a cell phone because on the internet they realize I didn't have a cell phone forever. I've traveled for years and never carried sort of a name of my own. I felt like it would become a bother. Not on the computer. I'm not against technology. I'm just not into it. Somebody said, do you think like the computer's the Antichrist? I'm like, stop. Why don't you have a computer? Do you think it's the Antichrist? Stop. It's what you do with things. I mean, the computer's a blessing. Look how the word's going all over. I get emails from all nations. You have no idea. My girl just texted me and said, does my internet stuff. She said, sorry, I can't get your emails to you because I don't get on there. At least too many. I have somebody scream and do it. It's not personal for me. I don't get on there. She'll pop a bunch off. She doesn't print them all because when she tries to let people know, it's too many. A lot of them are personal requests and prayer and questions. I can't. I'm one guy. And there's thousands of stuff going on. So she just said to me, she said, I can't get your emails to you. She puts them in a little mailbox. I'm so old school. It's like snail mail to me, you know. And she said, I can't put them in. I won't be at church. She said, I'm going to a funeral. I said, hey, there's just no rush. Believe me. She said, well, it's a whole lot. Dear Jesus. But my wife sent me a picture yesterday. I took her fishing on Thursday. And we were in our little boat. I just had a little car top boat. It's real simple. We're running the river. And my wife was all excited to be out. It was 70 degrees. You had warm. I said, you want to just go ride the river and just get out a little before I leave town? She said, I would love that. So she's all excited like a little kid. She's just not into taking pictures or being on pictures. But she was like, I want to do a selfie. And I'm like, you want to do a selfie? She said, yeah. I'm like, okay. Whoa. Look at all But she just smiled all sweet. And she has her big sunglasses on. But she smiled sweet. And I was in there and we're smiling on the selfie. So yesterday, she sends me the selfie. And she cut and pasted a big white cowboy hat on me. And I looked at it and I said, what? I texted her yesterday, I said, yippee-yay, little doggy, I'm having a blast. And that was my text to my wife. And I sent her the emoji with the brown cowboy hat on. So when I got back from service, she had cut and paste a hat just like yours, my friend. Were they Stetsons? I don't know what kind. That's probably not Stetson. That's 100% Beaver, though. Put that hat on me, and I thought, man, I look good in that. Did you have fun today?
Yeah.
Did you learn something?
Yeah.
I know you did, because you guys are listeners. I can feel it. So me going along is your fault. You see how I turned that on? I try to stop, and you keep me going. I'm going to pray something. Pray a blessing. Just cheer you on in this. Listen, I don't feel a lot of ministry in my heart right now. I just feel like we need to take this word and say, you know what? We can live this way. We can give our hearts to truth. We can personally take accountability for what's been positive. We can be the steward of our own heart, not somebody else's, our own. And we can live this thing by faith. We can make peace. We can show mercy. We can walk in love. Even when people don't do the things we were hoping, and even when they do the things they never should have. we can have a right perspective and see them with a higher view than what they've done wrong. You can make a decision today to say, you know what, I'm going to start right now to not live and take life personal. I want this message to be my strength. Right? We can live this thing, guys. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. Going to church will never change the world. You know, I'm in love. Has to. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the encouragement that I feel in my heart. When I look in their eyes, it's exciting. I just believe you're doing something. I believe you've raised up people here. You raised up some men and some leaders and some women that understand you and the gospel, that are hungry. There's just a good thing going on here, and I just pray that it would never even slow down a little bit, God. I pray that it would continue and just surpass, literally, our expectations. God, we actually in our heart would all say we believe you can do anything. So we just say, do what you want with us in this truth. Father, I pray for grace on every life. I pray for grace on every home. I pray that every individual in this room would be strengthened and encouraged by your Spirit. Let truth bring the freedom that it desires. And let us see and understand in all these things. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I'm glad I got to be here. I don't know if you want to close out or pray over people or what you want to do. You just want to say, you want to jump up and say anything? No? I just love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.